London's Magic 105.4. Well, there's very, very few child stars that I can say actually make it as children, stay focused and go on to continue making it as teenagers. Young lady I'm sitting next to started off doing adverts. Jello, Cosby mm-hmm. Show, my Cheerios. Goodness. Though, how many things were there? Let me just introduce you. Raven Simone Pearman.
Oh, wow, you said my name right.
Honey, I did my research.
I love it. They never say my name right. Thank you.
It is Raven Simone Pearman, yeah? Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm doing amazing now.
Thanks for joining me. It's really, really good to be talking to you.
Thank
for a number of reasons.
Me.
So many things I want to talk about. Let's talk Tinkerbell first.
Tinkerbell, I'm so excited. It is the first story where you actually understand where Tinkerbell comes from.
Yes.
So I'm very excited. I play Iridesa, a light fairy.
I'm aware.
And it's so cool how they set up the whole entire Tinkerbell story. You get to understand how the seasons change and how fairies are actually involved in our lives. And you get to understand that a fairy comes from a baby's laughter, and we see the creation of Tinkerbell. And I love the story because it's great for any age, I think, because it, again, kind of solidifies that you have to be comfortable with who you are in order to grow, in order to change things. And if you try to pretend like you're something you're not, it just, everything around you just falls apart.
And Tinkerbell found that out, didn't she?
She found that out the hard way by ruining a whole entire season, but she fixes it by becoming herself.
Which was so beautiful, because I took my daughters and the messages that they got from that, and just backtracking on something you said, it's lovely for every age.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, even though I enjoyed it, it clicked right at the end when she took, and I don't want to give it away, the music box to Wendy. Say no more.
I know. Wasn't it perfect?
Little lump came in my throat.
You know what? And it's funny, me too. I was like, that was perfect.
It was like the last stitch of sewing a garment. It's like a sleeve came off of a garment and that last stitch just solidified the garment back together. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
definitely.
Were you up for the part of Iridesa? Did you actually want that? Or, because, you know, some people go for parts and then they think, let's talk about Raven. Raven, That's So Raven was supposed to be, is it Teenage Psychics? Psychic. It wasn't initially called That's So Raven, was it?
No, it was called It was called Absolutely Psychic.
There you go.
And there was another female who was psychic, and her character was very melancholy, very, you know, very straight line. And I played her best friend by the name of Stacy, who is literally Raven Baxter with like 3 more inches of craziness to her.
That's not possible.
Oh, it was possible. I was younger, that's why it was possible.
But in the same way you weren't up for That's So Raven, did you actually go up for Iridesa in Tinkerbell?
They actually offered it to me. When it first started, they just had the plans. They were like, we'd love for you to play Iridesa. And I said, I would love to be a part of anything Tinkerbell. Because, you know, every girl, when they're younger, I used to watch Peter Pan through and through. So I was up for the part. And it was just great. I've been a part of the movie for about 6 years now, and we're on our third DVD, so... Yeah, they offered it to me, and unlike Absolutely Psychic, this one was just given, so that was good.
Yeah.
I auditioned so much for Absolutely Psychic. That's a long story.
Okay. Can we... I know we're talking about Tinkerbell, but can we talk about That's So Raven?
We can talk about it all day. It's all good.
When that series initially was launched...
Which was first here, I have to say. They did not launch it in America first.
No, they didn't, because I can remember adverts going out here... all the time on the Disney show, all the time. And I thought, look, I've really got to hook into this and find out what
Thank
this is
you.
About. Because I have two daughters. And did you ever have any idea that it was going to be as massive as it was? Because I know here, that's what made the Disney Channel the Disney Channel. That's So Raven.
No, I didn't think about it like that. But I tell you, when it launched out here first... I saw a poster, actually, in Paris, and here it was larger than life, and I had a tear come down. Like, I've been very fortunate to be a part of a lot of different things. The Cosby Show, Hang with Mr. Cooper, I've had my own albums and different movies of that nature, and never has... Like, I'll have a magazine feature, and they're like, oh my God, you're on a magazine. I'm like, oh yeah, that's sweet, thanks. I gotta find the next thing to do. But when I saw that, especially outside of my country... I had to stop for a second because I'm not used to it. You know, this is the first that when I was 15 was the first time that I came over to London and I actually saw that other people were watching was watching what I was doing as well. But I'll tell you something. I understand it, how you know, influential the show was.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really click in my mind. Like, even people today is like, I still watch it. I'm like, it's over. Stop it.
But it's so not
It's
over.
Hard for me to understand.
To grasp that.
It's hard.
Because here you are in the UK promoting Tinkerbell. And straight away I said to my daughters, without mentioning that you were going to be there, I said, look, we're going to go and see Tinkerbell. Raven's voice is in it. Oh, that's so Raven. I said, no, Tinkerbell. Because it's just such a connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's so Raven. And I think watching Raven grow through the series, because it ran for quite some time.
5 years. We did 100 episodes.
Mm.
But I haven't filmed it in almost 4 years.
But you see, it's still very fresh. It's still very new. And even though there's lots of repeats taking place, we still watch them. We still Sky Plus them. They're all still there. Raven Baxter, and I think she has to be your strongest character. But let's talk about little Olivia from The Cosby Show. Can you remember a lot about that?
I do not remember a lot from The Cosby Show. Every day a little piece of it slips away. But I'll tell you something. It's funny. Recently, I've been running more and more into a lot of the actors from The Cosby Show. I actually was just on the phone with Malcolm Jamal Warner yesterday talking about voting. I ran into Bud Dion.
Oh.
I ran into Dion the other night because he's friends with an old friend of mine who was also on The Cosby Show. And it's kind of funny how everything comes in full circle, comes back. But again, I don't really remember that much from there. And it's funny, they keep trying to say, well, remember this moment? Remember this moment? I was like, I was three, dude. I don't remember.
And such a vibrant three-year-old. the first episode, we have it. The first episode when Denise.
Denise. It's okay.
Lisa Bonet comes home with Joseph C. Phillips and introduces, you know, Mom, this is my stepdaughter. Mom, I'm a mom. And, you know, and you're sitting there. Very, very confident three-year-old. Once again, any idea that you were around such legends? Bill Cosby, Malcolm Jamal Warner, Felicia Rashad. Were you aware at the time of how powerful and what powerful people you were around?
I think as a three-year-old, what I could understand, I did, because my parents definitely instilled it in me. They said, you're not around, you know, your friends in school. These are people that can make or break your career if you want it at all. And kind of knowing, because I sat around my mom, this is my mom's story, I don't remember this, but my mom said we always sat around the TV and she would just sit there and watch it, you know, because she was young when she had me. So she would just sit there and be like, this is, I love these people, I love these people. So if anybody can capture my mom's attention as a three-year-old, I'm sure I definitely understood what was going on. And then as the season went on and the years went by, understanding more and more that these are professionals and that I have to be on their level. And I had to grow up, not consciously, but subconsciously growing up a little bit faster than a normal three-year-old, but not missing out on anything. I went to public school in elementary. Like, when the show wasn't filming, I went to public school.
And I was going to ask, how did schooling fall in line with filming The Cosby Show? Because I've having seen stuff on E! A True Hollywood Story and also the Biography Channel, you see Keisha Rudy. I'm sorry, I have to use
You know what? Use the characters' names. You know why? Because that's who you
That's who they are.
With.
That's who they are. You see Rudy in the morning being tutored and then in the afternoon filming. You see Vanessa. She was tutored for a while, but then Bill said to her, listen, if you want to go to college, you go to college.
He's amazing
So how did your schooling fall in line with all of that?
Well, I did the same thing. I was tutored. And then when we were on hiatus, because I believe it was three weeks we filmed and 1 week we were off. So that 1 week we were off, I'd go to public school. Mm. And I did that all the way up until my sophomore year of high school. And then junior and senior year was when That's So Raven was really bumping. And I didn't have time to go back to Atlanta or have my schoolwork shipped to me anymore. It was just too much. So I went homeschooled. So I graduated from homeschool, but I failed classes. I was part of the step team and got kicked off.
Don't say those things too loud. My daughters are next door.
No, but I like to keep it real, you know?
Yes, yes.
I got my grades. Don't get it twisted. My parents, like, I would not be here if my grades weren't on point. But, like, the step team, I'll explain that. Like, I'm very serious when it comes to my dancing, you know, and my singing, my performing, and being in a school sponsored dance team, it's like extracurricular activity. Yeah. But this was like my life, and they were missing steps, and I was like, "Come on, we gotta go. This is serious." And 5, 6, 7. They were like, "This is supposed to be fun." And it's funny because while I was doing it, I would be on tour with NSYNC, so I'm used to like 6 hours of rehearsing, and they only gave me 30 minutes to do a show that I had to perform in front of the school. They had to be out of their minds, so I totally got kicked out because. They just got mad that. But, yeah, I went to prom. I didn't go to prom. I'm sorry. I went to homecoming and all kinds of things. So I was – it's funny. A lot of the shows that you see, they
– reflect your life.
They reflect my life. But also when you're talking about people that are in the industry, they like to highlight the negative. They don't like to highlight the positive. So if there is positive, you don't really see it a lot. So there are so many, you know, people in the industry that have grown up in the industry that are doing well.
Yeah.
But you don't see them because I don't know why the human nature is to just feed off of negative energy. It shouldn't be, but that's how it is. So.
But you've managed to keep yourself very much on the straight and narrow, and I'm assuming that's down to your parents. There was a fantastic story on you in Ebony magazine some months ago, and I bought it to show my daughter, to just say, look at this girl. Her parents totally, totally behind her. Because correct me if I'm wrong, did they not move you to California to film that? No, sorry, San Francisco to film that So Raven?
No, it was California. It was Los Angeles, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I lived in, I was in Atlanta. And then when I could talk, I said I wanted to be on the Cosby Show. So they moved me to New York and with no money at all, sitting in the back of some car, which I swear to God I'll never get again. living in a place that we only ate hot dogs morning, noon, and night for like 2 years. And then we did the Cosby Show and I became a model and then moved back to Atlanta. And my parents have always invested in me. When I had my second album, it was my second album, they paid for it and everything and they just believed in me. And then we moved to California back and forth from 7 to do Hang with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, because you played Mark Curry's niece in that.
Nicole,
yes.
That was my ugly period of my life.
No, it was not.
Oh, it was. I had multiple flippers,
glasses. Were changing. You were changing.
Because we saw their ugly
son. But we saw you as the 3-year-old with Bill Cosby, and then you made the album, and there was this beautiful video that you did of the album with your hair tied and...
I thought I was Madonna.
I believe that. And then you were naturally developing, and I think with Hanging with Mr. Cooper, we could see that. This child was growing up.
Yeah, I definitely was. And glasses.
I'm still developing there.
But it was great. I loved Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Oh,
other
you.
Films that you've been in now. Dr. Doolittle, and working with Eddie Murphy, who had some great films out, went through a little bit of a lull, but I think Dr. Doolittle kind of started to raise him up again.
It did, and I enjoyed working with him. It was such a great experience, and it was my first real movie that I got to sit there, because I did Queen and I did The Little Rascals before, but it was only like quick snippets.
Yes.
So I was able to sit there with Ozzie Davis and
fabulous
Eddie
actor.
Murphy and so many others and just really relish and soak in all of that energy. And then we did Dr. Doolittle 2 with Little Zane, who I actually still talk to this day. So I was able to learn to get ready for a college road trip when I worked with Martin Lawrence.
Okay.
And now, all these people here in Tinkerbell.
And we're going to continue talking about Tinkerbell. Can I just ask you on one more thing before we come back to Tinkerbell?
Yes.
Cheetah Girls.
Oh, yeah. Cheetah Girls. We filmed the last one. Well, my last one in Spain. So it's good.
So you're not going to be doing them?
Well, I'm not. I was never. I have to get this straight. I was never a part of the Cheetah Girls musical group. They put that together after the first one was done. I've always been a solo artist since I was 5, actually. So I don't think I'll ever be in a group in that manner. The movie itself, one, I was filming on the third one. And two, I think it's very important that you embrace your character, but you have to let it go eventually.
Yeah.
And you have to grow up. And I'm 23 now. That's why I'm trying to move on. And that's why I think that being with the Disney family, like a Tinkerbell, and playing that and doing things like that is fine. But I can't really stay with the same character for too long because I need to grow up.
Okay. So, Tinkerbell. Eridissa, beautiful, beautiful fairy.
Isn't she gorgeous?
She's lovely. And the minute she opened her mouth, because I didn't have the actual casting with me, but the minute she opened her mouth, I just knew. I went, that's her.
I love the
Raven.
Part. She's like, if it's red, raise the tail. If it's blue, raise the head. I was like,
lovely.
Oh, I love her. And I love the fact that it's actually one of the first African-American characters that are going to be walking around the Disney parks.
Fantastic.
I think it's absolutely amazing. And I had such a great time recording this movie.
I was going to say, how did it feel doing animation as such? I know you've done bits of animation before. But how did it feel not being seen, but just knowing that your voice was very, very much a part of this film? How did it feel doing animation?
Well, I have to say I loved it because right about now I'm going through this crazy visual period of my life where I don't really know what I want to be. I don't really know what my style is. So I love doing a character where I don't have to be seen and I can just put my voice to it because, like, lately my fashion has not been on point. So being able to be her and knowing the people that I'm working up against, like
Lucy Liu,
America Ferrera, Mae Whitman. So I love doing it because, one, I got to create a character from the bottom up, and I just saw the picture, and I got to work with the directors and say, okay, we've done this character. She's absolutely adorable. And
it from the
together.
Heart, you could hear that.
She's so cute. I want to be her so bad. I should have been her for Halloween. I totally missed out.
And in a strange way, even though you're a woman now, you can actually hear the little girl in this fairy.
It comes out.
Yeah.
It comes out. The fairies, like, even when you look at it, don't you remember? Like,
lovely.
I love being a little fairy. And I know, actually, one of my friends, her name is Caitlin. She's always a fairy for Halloween. So no matter how old you are, you always want to wear wings.
Always want to be a fairy. Raven, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Hopefully I'm going to come here more and do some work and we'll see each other more.
I hope so.
Me too.
Pleasure talking to you.
Same here.
Magic 105.4. Magic 105.4.